everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful vaquita. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Jade, Tanner, Michi Foxy, Kristen, Hannah, and Peter. Thank you for taking the time to write into the show, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. If you would like to help support the show while getting more of it, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You get a new episode every single week, and you get intro-free versions of the official podcast episodes. So I look forward to seeing you there. A huge shout out to George Flad for the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first episode, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family. And if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of flippers and some scuba gear. We are definitely going to be needing that for where we are going today. And my second encouragement to you is arguably the most important. It is to realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension. It could be in the head, in the shoulders, in the neck, in the feet, the arms. Regardless of where it is that you carry tension, my encouragement to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is that you are holding on to. You can also bring up in your mind some Jell-O, whatever flavor or color that you like, and do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. Our Jell-O impressions on this show by some of you guys, I'm sure, are just unparalleled. If you are not sure where you carry tension, and that is entirely possible, you can start from the bottom of your feet in your mind, and just take your time to scan all the way to the top of the head, relaxing as you go. So, for example, you could start by relaxing the bottom of your feet, then your ankles, your calves, your quads, and your hamstrings, up and up. This is a useful exercise because you can both relax everything in your body while learning what it is that you tense most often. My third and final exhortation to you is that you give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into Mexico's Gulf of California, where the vaquita resides. We have been in Mexico before, but oftentimes on the show, we could have been many other places. In the case of today's animal, we could only really be here. That is because this is the only place in the world in which they are found. The animal that we are looking for today is the vaquita. Its scientific name is Phacoina cynus, and as is always the case, Embedded within this scientific term is Latin and Greek, and we can learn a lot about a creature just from these roots. The former portion of their name comes from a Greek word that means porpoise. It is somewhat related to the ancient Greek term for seal as well. The latter portion of their name, sinus or sinus, depending on your pronunciation, is Latin for bay or gulf, indicating, of course, its habitat here in the Gulf of California. Thus, taken altogether, their scientific name tells us that this is an animal that is the porpoise of the Gulf. Of course, something incredibly accurate. The former part of their name refers to their genus, which is porpoise. It is comprised of three extant species: the spectacled porpoise, the harbor porpoise, and the Burmeister's porpoise, as well as the vaquita. The vaquita is special because they are the smallest of the cetacean species, measuring only at about 1.5 meters. It has many similar characteristics with the 80 or so dolphin, whale, and porpoise species that make up the cetacean group. But this is an animal that is relatively new to us. It was discovered recently, only in 1958, and so there are many things that are left to be understood about this animal, and part of the reason why it took so long for us to officially recognize this animal is because there aren't many of them left. At the moment of this recording, it seems as though there are less than 20 individuals in the whole world. Maybe that has changed a little bit, but it would still be under around 50. So this is a special animal. When I was researching this creature, one thing that really shocked me was their appearance. They really do look like something I would have drawn when I was a kid. If someone was to just show me a photo of them, I would have imagined they are AI generated. Is it a dolphin? Is it a porpoise? It really has a way of stimulating that curiosity. So let me just detail for you their appearance in case you haven't already Google searched them, which I imagine slim chance. The vaquita's most distinguishing physical characteristics are those dark rings around their eyes and the dark patches that encircle their lips. I don't think that this is a characteristic shared by any other dolphin or porpoise, and it really makes them stand out from the rest. These are somewhat bovine characteristics, which are thought to have earned the animal its popular moniker, vaquita, which is the Spanish word for small cow. There was no way for me to hide the fact of their name until the end of the episode, which is when we usually cover their name, but a little bit of a spoiler was necessary. One can understand why people thought of them as a small cow. The rest of the vaquita's body is uniquely striped in various colors of white, black, and gray, a property that is shared by many marine mammals for individual and species identification. They are immediately distinguishable from other porpoises by their smaller size, stockier body, larger flippers, smaller head, and higher, curvier tail fins. They also have a triangular dorsal fin that is higher and wider than that of other porpoises. This is speculated on by researchers to help with thermal control in the warm seas, which of course the Gulf of California is. Now, while it is the case that they were characterized in 1958, this was mostly through anecdotal evidence from locals, and it was these locals who, with their allusions to vaquita, meaning little cow, helped researchers sort of imagine what they were looking for. They also referred to them as coquitos or cojitos. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but it means little pig, and duende, which means ghost or spirit. It wasn't until the late 1980s that the majority of researchers finally knew what this creature looked like. Of course, one might ask, maybe the locals were referring to another animal when they were calling it a ghost, a little cow, or a little pig. That is still entirely possible. I mean, how do you prove otherwise? But one can also see how these characteristics or descriptors could be describing the vaquita. So, as we learned earlier, this is a species that has the smallest geographical range of any cetacean species. So, as we alluded to before, this is the smallest geographical range of any cetacean species. The vaquita is non-migratory. It occupies only about 4,000 square kilometers in the northwestern Gulf of California, Mexico. The remaining specimens are largely found in the Rocas Consag Archipelago near the town of San Felipe in Baja California and along the Colorado River Delta, a marine ecosystem with amazing animal biodiversity. They live in relatively shallow waters, typically within 25 kilometers of the seashore and at depths ranging from 10 to 30 meters. This marine environment is turbid, it is nutrient-rich, it is dynamic, and it has an abundance of accessible prey. Something very important for a creature such as the vaquita. The vaquita is also exceptionally suited to survive in warm seas, with temperatures ranging from 14 to 36 degrees Celsius. That is from between 57 to 96 degrees Fahrenheit. But most porpoise species live in waters with temperatures of 20 degrees Celsius or lower, around 68 degrees Fahrenheit or lower. So that means that the vaquita can handle some very high temperatures, 96 degrees Fahrenheit at the top. That is almost more than 30 degrees Fahrenheit from other porpoises. Most vaquitas inhabit a space that is less than one-fourth the size of metropolitan Los Angeles. That is just to put it into some perspective. But fortunately for the vaquita, this area, as we learned, is home to many different creatures. And great for the vaquita, as they are non-selective feeders. They eat a range of benthic squids, crabs, fish, and crustaceans. Researchers have found that they eat at least 17 different types of fish, so they aren't too picky. After all, when you are a non-migratory species, you are unlikely to be very picky about what you put in your stomach. This creature, like all cetacean species, does not have any gills. They must surface to breathe. But when they go up to the surface, you won't be seeing them doing all the acrobatics of dolphins, whales, and porpoises. These animals have a very shy and reserved nature. They are seldom ever seen doing anything like that. Instead, the vaquita hardly even disturbs the surface of the water when they come up to breathe. They emerge with a gradual, forward-rolling movement, humble as ever. After taking a breath, the vaquita will rapidly and quietly plunge back into the water, and unsurprisingly, vaquitas are easily scared by loud noises like boat propellers. So we can see that this is a very shy animal. This does not mean that they are completely solitary, however, as they have been reported alone, in couples, and in groups. These groups can range in size from 7 to 10 individuals on average. These groups occasionally were found loosely aggregated, spanning several kilometers squared. Now, of course, we don't have too big a sample size. It could be the case that they would enjoy slightly larger groups, but the overall population size of this creature is such that it is tough to make that call. It should be noted right off the top that our understanding of the vaquita's ecological and behavioral characteristics is pretty limited. Remember that the scientific community didn't even know what they looked like until 40 years ago. But one thing that we do know, its significance, that is, the vaquita's significance, to the Gulf of California's marine ecology is undeniable. They are, like every other creature we have learned about, an important part of their natural food chain in its environment. It acts as both a predator and prey for top predators like killer whales and sharks. These gentle and humble animals play an important role in population control for various species of fish, crabs, and cephalopods. The rapid decline of the vaquita's population jeopardizes not only their own species, but also the fragile ecological balance of this interconnected food chain. The vaquita reproduces in the springtime or the early summertime, with females giving birth to a calf every other year between February and April. The gestation period of this creature is pretty typical at about 10 to 11 months. The calves are nursed for about 6 to 8 months before weaning them. It will take quite a while for the population numbers for the vaquita to get better, of course, given how sparingly they have kids. But one little note about these newborns, although we don't know all that much, we do know that they are typically born with darker skin. And now, let us move on to the name of the animal. We already learned what vaquita means, and so why don't we cover what a porpoise is? In the world of etymology, we have been using the word porpoise from the early 14th century. It is an import from an old French word that means pig fish, literally. It seems like it could be a combination of two Latin words together, porcus, which means pig, and piscis, which means fish. So something like porcus sounds pretty similar to porpoise or pork piscis. The notion behind the name likely is a fancied resemblance of the snout to that of a pig. This, of course, makes sense and is a pretty cool fact. And now, let me go to the dad joke portion of the episode. Check this out. How do you turn a female vaquita upside down? Flipper. Don't you just feel that one right in your guts? You know a dad joke is good when it feels like you've been Charlie horsed or you've been punched in the gut. I want to feel incapacitated from a dad joke. Now, normally, this is the portion of the episode in which I read your stuff from Spotify. I, however, still have not gotten the hang of getting those Q&As up on time. I had forgotten to change the Q&A on the second episode, and so it defaulted to that same question of, what do you rate this podcast? Out of 6, of course. I got a lot of billions in there. I got a lot of math equations in there. All very good answers. We have just answered that question quite a few times. And so I will do my best to stay on top of the Q&As this time. So instead, let us move to the review portion of the episode. Rosette Nebula wrote all the way from the United States of America on Apple Podcasts, and Rosette wrote, "This podcast is really relaxing and informative. I really like listening each night. My one suggestion is to make sure not to talk too fast in the intro. Also, can you do an episode on the fainting goat or the fire ant? Thanks. Keep up the great work. P.S. I rate a 5.74 out of 6. And this is signed Molly." Thank you, Molly, for that very kind review. That is a great suggestion, both for the animals and for the intro. It is also a very expert score, 5.74 out of 6. Maybe after I do my best to not talk too fast in the intro, you can consider a 5.83 out of 6. Molly, I also encourage you to send in your request through the website as well. That is just to be very, very sure I don't miss it. If the show helps you in any way, leaving a review is one of the biggest ways that you can help give back. If you can't leave a review on Apple Podcasts, sharing the podcast with a friend, responding to the Q&As on Spotify and on Instagram, all of those things are a great way to help the show. The larger our animal podcast family grows, the better. If you have an animal that you'd like to learn about and you'd like a chance to have your very own episode, you can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and click on the animal request or the submit tab, and you can put in whatever animal you'd like. If you would like to reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can go to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts and send me a message there. It is really me on there. I don't have anybody managing my social media, so if you send a message, I am the one that reads it. For more Relax with Animal Facts, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts, or you can just click the link in the description. It helps me to pay for editing of the podcast and general upkeep and all that sort of stuff. Your support means the world, and I look forward to seeing you there. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description and you should check him out. The facts in this episode came from oceangeneration.org, worldwildlife.org, and earth.org. Also on worldwildlife.org, there is charity information available in case you are interested in the conservation of the oh-so-wonderful vaquita. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. Almost a kind of bittersweet journey because of how few vaquitas are left. But there is always hope for animals like this, and I hope for a very bright future for these little guys. I hope you have enjoyed learning about them as much as I have, and I am so grateful that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join me on today's adventure. I look forward to the next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.